Welcome to the Well-Rounded Leader Podcast. I am your host, Tony Davis, coming to you from the beautiful beaches in Jacksonville, Florida. And first and foremost, before we dive right into today's episode, I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for supporting the show. If you would, please, please do me a solid. If you take away something, if you enjoy the podcast, if you find it entertaining, if it contributes positively to your day when you listen to it, please rate it a 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. That would mean a lot to me, and that would definitely help the promotion of the show. So thank you. Also, the show is sponsored now by Arrowhead Leadership Incorporated. Arrowhead Leadership Incorporated. Arrowhead Leadership is a licensee of Crescom International. Crescom International is a global franchise network that works with businesses of all shapes and sizes across all industries, helping to transform management teams into more effective leaders. You can go to Crescom.com to find the local franchise in your market. If you are in the Northeast Florida market, you can contact me through WellRoundedLeaders.com or Tony.Davis@Crescom.com. If you're interested in learning more about what Crescom's unique approach to leadership development can do for your life, your professional career, and to your companies. Now, every day we get better or worse, we never stay the same. My hope for you is that you get better. We're not growing, we're dying. So hopefully today you take away something that helps you get better and helps you grow in your leadership. And every single day you should strive to get better in your self-leadership, in your physical wellness, your mental wellness, your emotional wellness, your spiritual wellness, whatever it may be. Take care of number one, and number one being yourself. All right? We need to make number one the number one thing in our lives, taking care of our wellness and our self-leadership. Today's episode, my guest is Sonia Price. Sonia Price is the founder of Dynamo Careers. Her mission in life is to support professionals to have greater meaning, better work-life balance, and significantly higher pay, which that's kind of a cool thing, right? She's going to give us some great tips and techniques that'll immediately you can immediately apply to quickly accelerate your career success and have more work-life balance and hopefully make significantly more money. You can go to her website and you can do a career self-assessment, and she can help you in that regard too. But you are going to love this conversation. It's exciting, it's energetic, and there's a lot of great information. Enjoy the episode. Well, welcome to the Well-Rounded Leaders Podcast. I am here with Sonia Dynamo Price. Sonia, I got to tell you, that's awesome. Dynamo Price. So you're with Dynamo Careers, and you have, and I, you know, you got to be a little fireball with Dynamo right there in your the name of your business. Tell me about it.
Hey, why not? Why not? You know what? Life is too short to lead a boring life. So why not keep it spicy, keep it juicy, and, you know, make it be a life worth living.
Exactly. You want people to be drawn to you. I mean, what's the fun of having people not want to be around you, not want to socialize with you? I mean, there's enough hermits in this world. We don't need to be one. Mm-hmm. Be attractive. Yeah. Be that person that people want to be around.
Absolutely.
And you strike me as that.
Well, thank you. The name Dynamo actually came to me in a dream. Many years ago, when I was thinking about starting my coaching practice, I was thinking of all these domain names. And of course, I would go online and they were all taken. And then one night in the middle of the night, I woke up and it was like Dynamo Careers. And I looked and it was available. And since then, I've done a lot of research on what does a dynamo actually mean. And it's very interesting. It's a self-generating energy source. So if you know about the light, like when you pedal on a bike and you have a sustainable light, that's a dynamo. Ah. And so I see that as a really wonderful leadership practice because, you know, you really have to put some effort into it. But when you do put effort into it, sometimes you can actually coast for a while, you know, like the light will sustain itself, or you put energy into your team and the team will carry things forward. But as soon as you stop giving it energy, well, sometimes the light will diminish as well.
That's awesome. That is an incredible way to kind of look at leadership. And you just stumbled across it in a dream. And then after doing research, you hit on something you didn't even know you did. That's great. Well, look, nobody can tell
how life rolls sometimes.
That is. Sometimes we stumble into genius, and that's what you did. So props to you. So tell us your story as we get into this conversation. I'm so interested in learning more about you. Tell us who we're talking to. Introduce us, if you will.
Sure thing. Yeah. So my name is Sonia Price. I am the founder of Dynamo Careers. I am a top career strategist, salary advisor, and leadership coach. So I primarily work with mid to senior level leaders in helping them really define what's next for them in their career. You know, so oftentimes, you know, we work with very successful people, and they may have reached a stall point in their career, not really sure what else is next for them, what's the next stretch role or the growth opportunity for them. So I help individuals identify exactly what that is, and then help them know how to promote and position themselves so they can successfully land that role. They're usually moving into, like, up-leveling their career, moving into a higher level leadership role, taking on greater scope and responsibilities. And then we're also looking at things like, you know, how can I help people find a company culture and work environment that really works for them? And then we also are looking at negotiations. We want to ensure that, you know, someone is making the compensation that's worthy of the results and the skill sets and the strengths that they bring to the table as well.
So with the shift in the workplace right now, and I say this a lot, but there's at no greater time, at no other time, have we seen the workplace changing as rapidly as it has been, particularly over the last 2 years with what we've gone through. Now, you said one of the things that you do is you try to help people find a company with the culture that's the right fit for them. Mm-hmm. How do we do that?
Well, I find that's a little bit different for every individual, because, you know, everyone's kind of looking for something different. Across the board, I'm primarily working with people who are loving, you know, having a remote job and want to continue to be in a remote role. Mm-hmm. Although I know that there's a lot of challenges with trying to manage a remote team as well. But I think a lot of people are really enjoying and appreciating working remotely because it's giving them a little bit more work-life balance. It gives them those opportunities to throw a load of laundry, you know, in while during their lunch hour, take the dog for a walk, or, you know, do whatever. And then I have a small percentage of clients who are really craving being back in the office, you know, the extroverts that are like, I need to be around people, and I'm, you know, tired of looking, staring at my family all day long. You know, just within the last few years, that's one of the biggest developments and trends that I've seen, you know, is definitely, you know, overnight with the pandemic, we all started working remotely. I know some companies are starting to call their employees back. Mm-hmm. Some companies have just decided to go remote permanently. And, you know, through the last few years, I've also seen, you know, a greater trend towards the great resignation and quiet quitting. I'm sure you're familiar with those terms as well. So, you know, it's definitely an interesting time in the world of work. And I think we're going to continue to see some pretty significant transformations, you know, over the next few years as well.
Even beyond what we've already seen?
Yes, because I think that we're going to have to, like, bounce back to some sort of normalism. And I think we're trying to identify what exactly does that mean. Mm-hmm. You know, so some companies have been highly effective in making the remote teams work very well. Other companies have not been able to you know, really make that work for them. And so I think we're going to be I don't honestly know how things will continue to transform, but, you know, maybe technology will be a big component of it. And I think we're really going to have to learn how to address, like, how do we stay better connected to one another? I think that it's gotten so much about work tasks, getting results, making things happen. But yet I feel like we've kind of lost that personal connection that can oftentimes really help contribute to people being engaged and wanting to, you know, be motivated and actually cause the results as well. And that's where a lot of the quiet quitting and the great resignation comes from.
So you mentioned that some companies have been able to handle this hybrid or even remote work environment, and some companies haven't. compare and contrast the companies that have been successful to the companies that haven't. What have you seen to be maybe a common denominator in why some companies are successful and why some companies aren't?
That is a great question. I would think that, you know, like most business results, I would say that it oftentimes comes back to the leadership styles and the overall company culture, you know. So do people feel like they're included? Do they feel motivated and inspired by the mission and vision and what that specific department or team are up to? You know, I oftentimes will refer back to, it's actually kind of an older study now, but the Gallup organization did a study on employee retention, and they found that the top two factors for employee retention is, one, does my manager care about me as a person? And two, do I have a best friend at work? So even, you know, more important than compensation, than monetary compensation of like, what am I personally making, you know, for my job and what I do for a living? It's about the people connection. And so, you know, that would be my quick reflection on that is that it always comes back to the people connection and, you know, do people genuinely care about each other outside of the day-to-day work, right? I mean, you know, we come together to, you know, cause a specific objective and to cause results for a product or service offering. But beyond that, you know, we're all just humans trying to get by in this world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we're working 40 plus hours per week, a coworkers of who we spend our time with, that can make a significant and meaningful difference in into your overall perspective and happiness in, you know, who you are and how you live your life. So I would say it's still all about, you know, company culture, work environment, and the people connection.
Yeah. And that's interesting that you say that, that you refer back to that Gallup poll that, you know, obviously the number one reason why people leave good companies is because of their manager. So it would stand to reason that do they have a manager that cares? That is so important. That's why leadership development and leadership training is so important, because that's the difference between being a manager and being a leader. And some people can be managers, but not all people are leaders.
True.
Yeah. So then you say that they have a friend at work. Now, it seems that it would be harder. You know, you just said that successful companies versus the not successful have a lot to do with the people piece and the inclusiveness and do people feel like they belong within an organization. And having, you know, love and belonging is one of Maslow's basic needs that we all have. And it would stand to reason that would carry over into the workplace too, because we spend more time at work in a lot of cases than we do at home. So do you find it hard for companies and your clients to get that from a remote workplace, from working at home? I would think it would be harder.
I do.
To have that kind of culture. But yet it appears, you know, you said that you have even fewer clients that want to go back to work. You see what I mean? So talk about that a little bit.
Well, then, you know, I think it matters. Like, the human connection is so important. And we have to like individually for ourselves, we have to define where we get that. So I think that a lot of people have enjoyed the remote work because it has given them more time to be with family and friends and loved ones. So maybe they're getting more of that type of connection in their life. But then, you know, when we look at work, if we're not getting that personal connection at work, then I think sometimes we tend to withdraw or not give it our all or not, you know, participate as strongly as we would have otherwise. So when we were back in the office and we were walking around connecting with each other all day long, you know, you got that connection, but in the small conversations, the small talk before a meeting would start, passing by people in the hallway and saying hi, attending an all hands meeting and, you know, getting to see your leader or whatnot. You know, so I think now that we've kind of transitioned over into this remote work environment, I think those connection points become even more important and we have to be much more intentional about it. So you know, if managers are having one-on-ones with their team members, making sure that they're doing that consistently. Now, you know, I know sometimes you can't always do it every single week, but don't let it go too long. Don't cancel too many of them. Don't reschedule them all the time, because, you know, when they get rescheduled, I think the team member thinks, oh, I guess my meeting with my manager just isn't as important as everything else as it's going on, or it got canceled this week. Gosh, I really needed to talk about my project and what's up. You know, so I think the one-on-ones are really important. And then also just finding, you know, social time for connection. And I think with the, you know, video calls and conference calls is just so hard, because you join the call and it's usually just right straight to business. So, mm-hmm. you know, can we incorporate, you know, more of that, like, social getting to know you? Is, could we, can we have like official components of those meetings where we just have some small talk, and maybe just beyond the like, oh, hey, how are you doing? How's your week going? How's the weather? Maybe there needs to be more, intentionally facilitated conversations to make sure that people are staying connected. And I think that it really needs to be integrated in the day-to-day stuff. I know a lot of people have tried to coordinate, you know, social hours and happy hours and, hey, let's all get together on Zoom and have a beer at the end of the week or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I think most people would like to skip that if they could, because I think it, you know, it's not the same as like going out to a restaurant together. Mm-mm. And I think we need to have it integrated in the day-to-day stuff. It needs to be a part of how we go about doing business on a normal basis.
You know, you're right. It just, and maybe in the beginning when the pandemic first started and Zoom was, we were all really, really introduced to Zoom. And you would hear about, okay, how, you know, leaders were talking about how do we make that connection and keep that connection. And they were doing a lot of those happy hour things. I think you're right. Now, I think a lot of times people are just kind of over the virtual, mm-hmm. you know? So, mm-hmm. so to your point, when you try to make that connection over virtual, over Zoom, people are just like, look, it's not working. You know, mm-hmm. I think in the beginning it was like, we all realized, well, that's all we have. So let's make the mm-hmm. most of it. And now it's like, well, that was so 2 years ago. And I really just go on Zoom now because I have to. And it's how we do business mm-hmm. now. And it's not mm-hmm. how I do social, because I can go out my door and I can hang out with my friends at a bar. And I couldn't do that before, you know, so it does pose a challenge. So when you dive into a relationship with a client, there's so much that you have to learn about them mm-hmm. to understand what they're looking for in a career, what's important to them. And giving them career advice in which direction to go. How do you get started with them?
Well, the first phase of how I always work with clients is we develop their career roadmap. Oh. And I love this term because, you know, in organizational life, we're usually working towards a product roadmap or service offering plan or whatever it might be, right? Mm-hmm. And in business, we do annual plans, quarterly plans, monthly plans, maybe even weekly plans. And how often do we as individuals kind of take that step back and really look at our career and start to look at what is our short and long-term career plan? What's the pathway that I'm on? Is where I'm at right now serving of who I truly want to be? What's the next level for me? And what do I need to be working on right now to help me accomplish that next level? So we do a very comprehensive kind of roadmap and strategic plan to identify short, medium, and long-term career goals. Mm-hmm. We do a skills assessment just to kind of say like, okay, where are you at now? What makes the most sense in terms of what's the right level, the right title for you moving forward into the next phase or next chapter of your career? Sometimes people are wanting to make a pivot. You know, maybe they've been doing one thing, but they want to pivot into doing something different. So we look at what options are available to them. Mm-hmm. And I'm always looking at kind of this unique combination of what do people love? What would they find meaningful and fulfilling? And what would give them that sense of like truly satisfactory work? Mm-hmm. What are they already good at? Like they possess the skills to be good at, or what skills do they need to be learning to be qualified and eligible for that next level? And then also the compensation piece of what pays well, or what's going to give them the overall comp of what will help them have the kind of fulfilling lifestyle that they want to have as well. Mm. So most people are coming to me, they want to make a pretty significant jump in compensation. So we're definitely looking at, okay, what are the available feasible opportunities to be able to up level? but also give them that sense of, you know, satisfactory, fulfilling work. And then we also look at decision-making criteria. So beyond compensation, you know, okay, you want to make X number of dollars more per year. What else is important to you? Mm-hmm. Because I find that sometimes people will make a shift just because they're like, okay, well, I want to make $50,000 more per year. You know, great. But then are we looking at things like company culture, work environment? Are we looking at your relationship with your direct manager? Are you looking at growth opportunities? You know, if you move to this next new company, is it actually going to give you the growth opportunities to continue to grow and accelerate your career where you can have some longevity with that organization? Or are you going to be in the same boat, you know, a year or two or three down the road where you're like, okay, I got to pick up, move to a new company again, because the right opportunities just aren't here for me to continue to grow and accelerate my career path. Mm-hmm.
So when you get this career coaching analysis, for lack of a better description, with one of your potential clients or clients early on, what do they take away from this? What do they learn about themselves that they maybe didn't really completely understand, or maybe they had a little bit different concept or perspective about themselves? And then once walking through, because you unpackage a whole lot of different ways mm-hmm. to look at what they want. Mm-hmm. Some areas probably they've never looked at before, considered before. So what has been the neatest thing that somebody has taken away and learned about themselves through this process as it pertains to their career goals?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one thing I think that people don't usually take the time to sit down and really evaluate their unique personal values. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what does that mean in terms of what types of companies or work environments might be the right fit for them? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I work in tech. Most of my clients are in the tech industry. And so, you know, sometimes people are going for that, like, well, I want to work at Amazon, or I want to work at Google, or, you know, I want to have that like top tier tech company on my resume. And so they're trying to go after that. And then they get a job at Amazon and, you know, or I'm working with someone who has been working at Amazon. They're like, I finally accomplished my goal. I got hired at Amazon, but I am burnt out and this is not the right environment for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you may know, Amazon has an incredibly low tenure. People do not work there for very long. You know, I hear this phrase a lot, which is like, Amazon is where type A personalities go to die.
Wow, I never heard that.
So, you know, if it is like true type A people, they're probably going to thrive in an environment like Amazon. But then, you know, other folks are like, hey, that's just not the right environment for me. So how do we help them identify what their values are and what the right work environment is for them? And maybe they still stay in the tech industry. Maybe they go elsewhere. Maybe they work for a smaller organization. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes I think people have ideas or concepts of like, you know, oh, I want this high status. You know, I want the top tier tech company. But then when we work together, we realize like, oh, actually, maybe a smaller company might be more serving for you and might actually give you the growth opportunities that you're looking for as well. Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing is that I think sometimes I can really help people understand what is feasibly possible for them from a compensation perspective. And so we do very thorough salary research to, you know, look at different industries, different companies. And I think sometimes people find that, especially if they've been with a company for a very long period of time and they're ready to make a pivot and move into something new and different, I think oftentimes they find that they might be very, very well behind the going pay rate for someone with their skill set.
That's a nice realization to come to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's great.
Because you'd rather hear that than somebody like you tell them, you're way overpaid.
Right. Yeah.
Stay where you're at because you're way overpaid.
I actually, there's one client that I've worked with who has gotten, we've done a couple different rounds of working together. And so they've ended up getting promoted three times now. And since we started working together, maybe like 4 years ago, mm-hmm. and we didn't even work together the entire 4 years, you know, there was like a couple different segments of us working together, but he has gotten promoted three times and he's now making $250,000 more than what he was previously making. He actually doubled his income.
Nice.
So yeah, there are some some pretty big comp increases that are possible.
And that's just really all about knowing what's out there and knowing the market and knowing what to ask for, right? Because
knowing what's out there, knowing how to position yourself. I think that's a really crucial component of this as well, is that, you know, what I find oftentimes is that professionals are really good at what they do, mm-hmm. and they know how to cause results in their specific area. But then when it comes to selling themselves, all of a sudden, you know, I don't want to say they lose their confidence, but they may just not know the best way of going about doing it. Or if they're in an interview, they may not be featuring the best work experience, or they may just not be approaching it in such a way that the mm-hmm. leadership team that they're interviewing with sees them as, you know, a collaborator, somebody who's going to come in and actually help them solve the problems that they have in front of them.
And I could definitely see how that's true, especially with the industry that you work with a lot, is IT people, right? Because they're IT people. You know, they don't really understand. I'm generalizing here. I understand. But they may or may not understand how to market themselves and sell themselves and promote themselves. And that's just not what they do. So that would be a real valuable asset for you to do, you know, be able to provide them with, is that knowledge of how to promote themselves. You know, I mean, for people that are out there in sales, that's all we do. And hey, we know how to do that. You know, we do it too well sometimes, maybe, maybe a little bit over the top. But for engineers, for IT people, for maybe accountants, they just don't, you know, I mean, it's not all of them, but you know, some of them need that expertise mm-hmm. that you might be able to provide. So that's good. That's good. That's definitely, I can see how that could definitely be helpful. Let's look at you and how you got to this position. What would you say one of the most influential people in your life, who has helped you get to where you're at today, helped you grow in your leadership, helped you get into this field? Who's been pretty impactful in your life to get you here?
Oh, you know, I have had a number of really wonderful managers, leaders, mentors, sponsors. So it is hard for me to pinpoint one. Mm-hmm. But I have put some thought into this. And, you know, I would say one of the most influential people in my life is my aunt, Marty. Mm-hmm. The reason that she stands out to me, you know, as such an inspirational leader is she herself is an executive coach. She kind of paved the pathway for me. Like, you know, I learned, she's been doing this for a number of years, and I actually learned about like her profession when I had just graduated high school. This is, you know, I don't want to date myself, but what, 25 years ago. You know, I knew at the time nobody would take me seriously as a coach at that point in time, but mm-hmm. I learned a lot about, you know, her philosophies and her methodologies and how she coached people. And she turned me on to some really great thought leaders, you know. And so like through her, I studied a lot more about like integral theory and spiral dynamics. I don't know if you know much about that. But she's just been this incredible inspirational person to me. And, you know, she's just one of those people I can count on. So if I'm having challenges in life, I give her a call, and I know I can always, you know, count on her to give me the words of wisdom that I really need to hear. You know, like she's not just a girlfriend that's going to agree with me.
Right.
She's going to, you know, she points the finger back at me and says, "Oh, that's interesting. You know, like, what's your part in that?" And, she's a great coach. So she's always been really inspirational to me, and has really given me a lot to think about as I've developed my coaching practice as well.
Yeah, that's an invaluable resource right there. Having somebody that's in the industry that you're in, mm-hmm. that has been through it, that has can help you with your career in this respect, knowing probably many lessons learned that she's gone through and is able to share with you. But here's the cool thing. She's family. So she's going to give you that tough love. You know, she's going to tell it to you straight. Sometimes it might hurt a little, but you're going to be better for it when you get to the other side. Right.
Yeah. And we're both kind of like the black sheep of the family. So we have that in common as well.
So you guys hang out together at all the family events because nobody else.
We do.
Well, yeah, that's cool.
We do. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. It's a two-part question. I'll throw it to you. It's my first ever two-part question in the history of this podcast.
Oh, I feel so honored.
I know. I don't know why I just let in with that, but it's the first time I've ever said that. Okay. What is one leadership trait that you feel all leaders should be able to, should possess? And then on the flip side, what is one behavior or trait that has derailed most leaders in your opinion? Yeah. How about that?
Wow. That's a zinger of a question.
Well, come on, like Dynamo.
Start some careful.
Get that pedal going so you can get that light going. Get that Dynamo.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, two sides of the double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. Maybe collaboration. You know, I feel like that's definitely a strength of leaders, mm-hmm. is to not just tell their people what to do, but to also, collaborate with people and make sure that they have the right information to even be able to make the decision to begin with. So having a more collaborative style, I think, can be a wonderful trait in a leader and really enroll people in following them as well, and like wanting to be led by them. Mm-hmm. The flip side of that is that I definitely have seen some leaders who are too collaborative, and you know, they make decisions by committee and they take in too many data points, and you know, they're not decisive enough to move forward, mm-hmm. in a quick fashion, and to, you know, give the direction that people really need to see in them, to want to follow them, to want to be led by them, to feel inspired, and to feel that, you know, that leader really has their back, and that has, you know, has the high level viewpoint to be able to make decisions, execute on things quickly, and, you know, keep the ball rolling.
Yeah, that's a great point you bring up, a strong leadership trait, like being collaborative, can be a negative if you're too collaborative, whether it's intentional or unintentional. Now, if it's unintentional, it's probably because you're, like you had alluded to, you're not a good decision maker. Mm-hmm. You don't have confidence in your ability to make a decision, so you're trying to get everybody's input, trying to make everybody happy. Mm-hmm. That could lead to Pandora's box of reasons, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Or you're looking at too many data points, like you said. So now you're mm-hmm. analysis by paralysis, and you get mm-hmm. to the point where you should make the decision, but then you second guess yourself and you want more information, you know? So mm-hmm. that's a very mm-hmm. insightful answer to that I just threw out at you out of nowhere. And that's really good.
Well, I've definitely worked in both types of environments. So, mm-hmm. It comes from experience. And I think it's hard as a leader to find that right balance of how much do you collaborate and how much do you just move forward and call the shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good stuff. I like that answer. Mm-hmm. Very nice. So we deal with all these different things as leaders. You know, we've had a multitude of challenges facing us throughout the last 2 or 3 years. And then looking at how we've been able to hopefully get through the pandemic and move forward, although there's seems to be some segments of society that don't want to move forward. But what do you think some of the biggest challenges today are that leaders are faced with?
Oh, well, right now at this moment in time, we have a looming recession on our hands. You know, maybe some people already believe we're in a recession. Others believe that it's still coming. You know, I think leaders are having a very hard time identifying what is the true direction for the organization. You know, and depending upon the level of leadership, right? If you're how high up the chain that you are, what kind of decisions are you making about the organization in terms of, you know, what are the key initiatives that we're going to continue to work on? And what are we going to cut? You know, we've seen a lot of layoffs happening recently, and that never bodes well for, you know, the company image in the public eye. But it also makes employees be very scared, and people get terrified that they're going to lose their job. Some of the, you know, my clients and some of the companies that people are working in right now, many people are having to, you know, develop proposals to say why their project should continue. And that, you know, that's a very scary place to be as an employee, mm-hmm. because you're like, oh my God, I have to prove my worth. I have to prove my value. And so we're not making progress forward. We're just simply proving the fact that we should still be there to begin with. So, that's not the case across the board completely, but I think, you know, because we are seeing a lot of layoffs happen in especially in the tech industry and certain organizations, even if you're working in a company that doesn't have layoffs, you're still kind of scared because you're mm-hmm. like, well, if it's happening over there, could it happen here? And what's actually happening in the economy? What's happening in the world? What's happening in politics? And how is that impacting the US and US-based organizations? And what can I count on? Where's that sense of security? So I think there's a lot of fear in the employment market right now. And I don't think it's as bad as the media may want us to believe. Mm-hmm. Unemployment is still very low. I think we're at like a 3.7% unemployment rate, which is quite low. Mm-hmm. But the feds are talking about increasing interest rates again. And, you know, the feds are not really too concerned about the unemployment rate. I think I've heard them say, you know, once it gets to 8%, then we'll be worried or something like that. So those are the big challenges that I see at play. And it's, very big, complex challenges.
Yeah. And you're so right. With all this uncertainty, you really can't trust information anymore. You don't know where to go for good information. You can't go to social media. You don't know what you're hearing and what's truth, what's not. It is hard to figure out how to navigate some of what is going on in the world today, especially if you're a leader of a company or a leader of an organization or in your world, trying to figure out where you should go and what career path mm-hmm. you should take. All of those things mm-hmm. are affected, and all of those things, and we're just kind of at this real peculiar place in the world right now where it just seems to be just so much distrust overall. Wouldn't you, mm-hmm. you know, at least that's kind of how I feel about it. It's just kind of how I think things have have progressed over the last couple of years. Let me ask you this. So leaders are learners. We never stop growing. We never stop. Mm-hmm. What do you do to continually better yourself and improve? Because, and I quote this all the time, Bo Schembechler, every day we get better or we get worse. We don't stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing to get better?
Yeah. You're either growing or dying, right?
That's right.
That's how I've heard it said.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, I do listen to a ton of podcasts. I feel like I've become a little bit of an audiophile. Mm. I think I listen to books more than I read books, but still getting my book content in either through listening to audiobooks or mm-hmm. podcasts have become such a wonderful, valuable resource. So I do listen to a lot of podcasts and, I listen to it a lot while I'm like either at the gym or making dinner or whatnot. It's just easier to kind of like throw an episode on in the background.
This is where you're supposed to say, and Tony, I listen to yours all the time.
Oh my gosh. You know, one of the absolute best podcasts is the Well-Rounded Leaders and, right top of my list.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Absolutely. I shared with you. I've listened to several of your episodes. I think it's a great, great podcast. Yeah. So if you're not already subscribing, please subscribe to the podcast and listen to all of the upcoming episodes.
Okay. Now I'm embarrassed myself for being overly, you know.
No, it's good. You got to promote yourself.
Always be selling, always be closing. And that includes promoting yourself and your podcast.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
So good.
Podcast, books. And you know what? Also a big thing I'm really trying to work on.
Yes.
And I think that we should be telling ourselves this more is to relax and rest. You know, and that actually can be a way of making yourself better. You know, we live in such a work-driven society, and you know, I will fully admit that, you know, I'm probably much more on the workaholic side of things, and because I'm so passionate about my work, sometimes it's hard for me to put it down and let it go. And so something I'm personally trying to work on is like, well, how do I actually create better boundaries around my work? And I don't always need to be learning. I don't always need to be producing. Sometimes it's okay to, you know, cut out and go watch Netflix for the evening, or spend time with family, or go for a bike ride, or, you know, do whatever. So I think that that's actually a very helpful component. And I think people need to give themselves permission to do more of that as well.
You know what? That is so true. Set boundaries for yourself, and even mindfulness. You know, I think there's one thing that I've never been really good at is just kind of stopping and trying to just breathe and try to clear your mind and not think of anything. And whether it's guided type of mindful stuff, or, you know, or doing, you know, positive affirmations while you're doing your mindfulness, you know, I'm trying to get myself, I'm trying to change some of my morning routine to where I incorporate some of that. And here's a weird thing. You know, I know it's, you know, I've heard from hundreds of people that do it, and then when I do it, you do go away from doing that and going, okay, wow, I need to really, but yet, you know, it takes a while to kind of create that new behavior.
Yeah.
But it is so important, and you do feel better. And and even, you know, the positive affirmation thing, that's a little bit, you know, that's a little bit more for me to kind of really start to accept. But the mindfulness, you know, that's great. You know, it's kind of to your point, you know, take the time. And you don't always have to try to be productive. You don't always have to be pushing the throttle down full
steam. Yeah.
Pull up on that throttle.
Hey, there's a lot of research out there these days that is, you know, now talking about how important it is to keep your nervous system calm. And, you know, things like meditation, mindfulness, super, super important. And I've noticed that for myself too. Like I do meditate on a daily basis. And if I don't do it, especially if I don't do it for like several days in a row, I start to realize like how amped up that I get, and I can really get like wrapped around the axle. But if I meditate on a regular basis, I notice that I just have a much more calm, peaceful presence. Yeah. And it's just a better experience in my body. It's just a better experience of being me. And I'm sure that other people probably have a more positive experience of interacting with me as well.
And it definitely will contribute to a person's emotional intelligence, because if you get into that habit of decompressing, of clearing your mind, of calming yourself, especially when you're amped up, you know, that is going to become a part of kind of how you live, you know, and that's going to help you in stressful situations. It's going to help you understand what you need to do when you do go up a few levels. Okay. Well, I know that if I shut the door, if I just, you know, do my meditation, if I do my mindfulness, I'm going to calm down, you know? So it does create that awareness to improve on your emotional intelligence too. Now there's a lot more that goes into that, but it's a good start.
Yeah. What I'm curious, Tony, what else do you do as part of your morning practice?
Well, I get up, have a cup of coffee. The first thing I do is play Wordle. I do. I just kind of, as I get my coffee, I just do Wordle. And then after that, I will come in, do quiet time devotions. And then I go in the garage. I got my gym in the garage. And then I run. So I've just really picked up running here within the last year. And I love it now that I've learned more about it. I used to think running just meant I would just have to go out and run as fast as I can. And I was like, how do people do this? This is horrible. And then, you know, I started learning about it and going, oh, there's such thing as long runs where you don't actually try to run really fast. You can just, you know, you're running for your, anyway, so that's what I do. I try to take care of myself physically. I try to, you know, take care of, you know, improve myself mentally, emotionally, you know, the whole well-rounded leaders thing, because self-leadership starts with how we take care of number one, and number one is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not going to be around because of my habits, eating habits, lack of exercise, you name it, stress. And I've learned this from when I had my other businesses that I sold, that stress is horrible. You know, stress affects a lot of different ways. And the biggest thing, ripple effect, it's how you lead. So if you don't have mechanisms in place to control that stress and how it affects your body, how it affects your mind, how it affects your emotions, it's going to affect how you show up as a leader. So unfortunately, I learned all this after I sold the businesses and then not when I needed it the most, because I probably had a million reasons why I wasn't doing it. I didn't have time and I didn't blah, 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 whatever. We all do that. Mm-hmm. We all do that. Mm-hmm. But knowing what I know now, I would have definitely forced myself and been stronger. But
hindsight is always 20/20, right?
It sure is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask you one last question. And I always like to, you know, I sometimes end with a top five, just kind of gives us a little bit different perspective. And so the top five, your top five list, your top five movies that feature strong leadership strengths.
All right. Yeah, I put a little bit of thought into this actually. So my top five movies that feature leadership strengths would be number one, Dead Poets Society. Oh, Captain, My Captain, right? Robin Williams and his students were so inspired and transformed by who he was as a teacher and a mentor and a guide. Such an incredibly endearing movie. And, you know, one of Robin Williams' top performances, in my opinion.
Yep, that's a good one.
Number two, Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, Shawshank.
And the reason I chose this is because this is a wonderful example of leading when you're not in charge. You know, Andy Dufresne, who was Tim Robbins' character, he really played to his strengths. And he ended up getting himself into a situation where he was able to, you know, use his strengths as an accountant. And he ended up doing all the guards' taxes for them. And then he ended up eventually using his power for what I would say is good. A little bit questionable. He definitely colored outside the lines, but he broke the rules one day and he played the opera music over the loudspeaker. And, you know, all the prisoners in the yard were just like, wow, what is that music? Right. And he expanded people's horizons and gave them new perspectives. So I thought that was a pretty cool example of leadership.
And the scene on the roof where he got beers for his buddies and he didn't even drink.
That's right. Yes, totally right.
Yeah, that's
a good call out.
Yeah, you're right. So
such a good movie.
It was outstanding.
Yeah, yeah. The third movie would be The Social Network, which I think is a really interesting story. Right, it's about this young leader struggling to get his new tech platform recognized, which we now know as Facebook. You know, and there's this really interesting peek behind the scenes of, you know, the ethics of what was happening and how, you know, how could he be the first to market? And so it's really kind of this unique coming of age story that also includes a really hard look at the world of business and, you know, included lawsuits and some big money payouts and all of that. And I'm not really advocating for Mark Zuckerberg or Facebook as a company, but I do think it's a really interesting story, you know, in a biography of a big tech icon of our times.
I haven't seen that movie. Is that movie, I've heard of it. Is that movie true? Is it true to events?
I think it's mostly true to events. You know, it's
based on
a real story.
But close enough, right?
Yeah, it's a good one. I highly recommend it.
Okay.
Highly recommend that one. Number four is The Godfather.
Oh, I love The Godfather.
Godfather, right? And it explores themes of power and influence and decision making and leadership succession. Mm. Also a little bit questionable on the ethics, but phenomenal movie nonetheless.
Questionable on the ethics might be the understatement of the podcast episode. But yes, I understand your point.
Yeah. And the number five movie that I would recommend that talks about leadership strengths is The King's Speech.
Oh, that's a new one.
I don't
one
know too. If you've seen that one. I haven't. But it's about King George VI during a very tremendous political and social upheaval in Europe. And he is like thrust into power. He has to take the seat of the throne, and he has this debilitating stammer. Mm-hmm. And he's suddenly put into this position where he has to give speeches and talk to his country and talk to his nation about the war and the things that are happening. So it was very difficult for him to overcome this challenge. And he really did not want to be in a position of leadership, but he was kind of forced into it and had to do it. And it's this really very touching story of this journey of him overcoming his speech impediment and how he was really able to become a leader. You know, even though he didn't really ask for it, he didn't really want it, but he got put in the position and he really took it on and, you know, stepped up to the role when it was needed.
Wow. Okay. That sounds like a good one too. All right. Well, thank you. You've just introduced me to two. We're all, you know, every time you want to watch a movie, you're going, now, what do I watch? And you don't have a clue. So now I have two. Now here's my rule of thumb though. I love IMDb. I think it's one of the best apps in the world. Uh-huh. We have here at the house kind of like a Mendoza line. Like, so if we look up a movie and it's less than 6.5, we don't even watch it.
Okay.
So hopefully Social Network and King's Speech. Sounds like King's Speech is going to be above 6.5. Because quite frankly.
I think they'll probably both be above 6.5.
Cool.
I'd be surprised if they're not. But even if it's not, I highly recommend a watch.
Okay.
And if you watch it and you hate it, then you can come back and tell me.
Well, there
horrible.
Are.
How dare you recommend that?
There are exceptions to the 6.5 rule. There has been movies that I've not checked, you know, for whatever reason. I've read and I watched them and I go, wow, it's pretty good. And I look up the IMDb and it's like 5.8. I'm like, 5.8? There's no way this is a 5.8, you know. So there are exceptions to the 6.5 rule. And I'm sure I'm missing out on a lot of movies by sticking to my guns on that most of the time. So, well, Sonia, I appreciate you coming on. This has been a lot of fun. And I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. I know our listeners probably have too. So thank you for being a guest on the Well-Rounded Leaders podcast.
Thank you, Tony. It's an honor and a pleasure. I really appreciate the conversation as well today. Super fun, entertaining, and really inspiring as well.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Keep doing the work that you do.
You too.
As always, thank you for listening and for telling your friends to check out the show and for rating the show 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Your continued support makes it possible for me to do what I love, which is helping people be the best and become well-rounded leaders in their world. And for that, I am grateful. And until next time, be a well-rounded leader and make an impact.